Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My guest this hour is Bassem Youssef. Youssef is often described as the John Stewart of the Arab world. He's the former host of a satirical news TV show called El Bernameg that aired in Egypt from 2011 until 2014. In 2014, Youssef was forced into exile after being accused of and arrested for criticizing the Egyptian government. He and his family now live in California. He has a book, Revolution for Dummies, and has produced a new television series for the web called The Democracy Handbook. He's also the subject of the documentary Tickling Giants, and that film starts with this humorous warning.
Please use caution when trying any techniques used in this movie. Speaking out against oppressive regimes may cause side effects such as headaches, mood swings, sweating, indigestion, loss of appetite, loss of sleep, loss of home, loss of friends, loss of constitutionally guaranteed rights, death, and vaginal dryness. This movie may not be appropriate for all audiences. If you are a dictator, please leave the room now.
On April 7th, Youssef is speaking in Iowa City as part of the Mission Creek Festival. Bassem Youssef, welcome to our program.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine, and I'm so excited to talk with you. I watched that documentary film, Tickling Giants, last night. It was such an amazing account of what you went through, the bravery of you and your team during the Arab Spring in Egypt. It's such a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you so much.
I want to ask you about your current projects, but before that, I'd like to have you take us back to your remembrances, and a lot of this is covered in that documentary film, the remembrances that you have of the Arab Spring in Cairo, the series of protests and demonstrations across the Middle East and North Africa, starting in Tunisia in 2010. You were right in the middle of it, of all that upheaval in Cairo in 2011, when the longtime dictator Hosni Mubarak was in power. Let's listen to a sort of a montage of news reports from that time, from the film, and then I'll have you describe your experience.
Protesters are back on the streets in Cairo, Egypt.
Demonstrators staged one of the largest rallies in months.
Thousands of demonstrators came ready for a new political revolt.
Violent clashes are raging
Bloody
once
clashes
again in Tahrir
protesters
Square.
And security forces.
Since the revolution began last January, more than 1,200 people have died and over 13,000 injured.
So, Bassem, take us back to the earliest protest when Mubarak was still in power. And we have to mention here, amazingly, you are actually a heart surgeon. You're a doctor, so you went to these protests to help out medically, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wasn't a part of any political movement. I was surprised, actually, by the movements in the streets. I didn't know what was going on. So the only way I could help is just, like, using my experience as a doctor and go there, treat the people in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Take us back to that time. What was the feeling in the streets among the people, and contrast that with what the state media was reporting in Egypt?
Well, I mean, the people in the streets, there is like a mixture of celebration, festivities, fear. There were people who believed in what they were doing. They believed that this was enough. And on the state-run media, it was a different universe. It was a kind of a media that was calling everybody an operative, a spy. You know, kind of like what you get a glimpse of that here in the United States, where when the students of Parkland in Florida came out, the right-wing media described them as being paid by the left-wing politicians. When people stood up in the town halls against the Republican lawmakers, again, they were saying they were paid by Democrats. Whenever there is like a genuine movement in the streets, people always use accusations of treason in order to delegitimize their demands. And so this is what was happening. There were like fear. There were people calling these people being pushed by external powers, including all kinds of powers: America, Israel, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, all together. So it was more of a big fat conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. In the midst of all this, tell us how your show, El Bernameg, I'm not sure if the pronunciation I have is correctly, but how was...
Close enough.
What does it mean, by the way, El Bernameg?
The show.
The show.
Simply the show. Simply the show.
The show. Okay. The show. How was the show born?
Instead of saying the Daily Show, would you say the show show? Bernameg El Bernameg. So that was actually making fun of how people came up with like elaborate names. Well, actually, all of the shows look the same.
And it was born, so to speak, in your laundry room?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I started a few weeks after Mubarak was, departed. So after the dictator department. So it was after revolution ended, 6 weeks after the revolution ended. And I started my show from a laundry room with one camera and me. And I was just like making the videos, not knowing that a lot of people would watch it. I thought maybe 10,000 people would watch the video, and suddenly it was in the millions, and it became the talk of the town. Everybody was talking about it. So I started kind of like editing the stuff that I saw on television, kind of like to remind people of what kind of brainwashing people were going through because of the state-run media. And I just put it out there, not expecting much.
And it really, you say it quickly, caught fire. So you were expecting thousands. You ended up with, 30 million weekly viewers as a weekly show?
Yeah, that was like later in when I did the show on television. But like right there in the web series, in 2 months I had 5 million views, and this was something unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And then that took me to the second stage, was going on television, and this is where the show really kind of took off.
Yeah, a network picked you up. Tell us about the election of Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood, elected in 2012, right? You said
yeah.
In the documentary, when you dealt with him in your satirical news show, I think you said he was a little bit like George W. Bush. How do you mean that?
Well, you know, I think that people that come from a too much of a conservative political background, they are used to speaking to their own bases. They're not really aware of what happens outside. So whether that is a conservative military or conservative religious background, and this actually happened later with Sisi too. So because they speak to their bases, and they kind of, it's more of an echo chamber. They don't realize that the people outside their own echo chamber don't buy into their rhetoric. So they say stuff that might, for them, sound very smart and intellectual, but it's not. So whether it was Trump or Bush or Morsi or Sisi, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm.
You were arrested at one point and then later released. This was under Morsi, right?
Yes.
Tell us that story.
It was more of like an arrest warrant for interrogation because of my show. And I went there voluntarily because I didn't want them to come and arrest me. And I went there and I was interrogated for 6 hours.
Okay. So you had the arrest warrant put out for you. What were you thinking? Why did you decide to turn yourself in rather than face whatever consequences would have come had you not turned yourself in?
I mean, I don't know what would happen if I didn't turn myself in. I don't know if they're going to come and get me from my home, from my theater. So, and I remember I told my wife to take our child and go to parents' home because I was afraid that they would come at night and arrest me. So I stayed that night in the theater. I didn't go home. And next day I went voluntarily to the general prosecutor office.
And there was
and I kind of turned myself in.
Right, and there was a lot of press surrounding this. It was a big news story in Egypt that you were turning yourself in, and the reaction of the people had described the reaction of the people.
Well, I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood government was not popular at that time because they were only popular within the Islamist circles. So people took that movement by them as an infringement of freedom. And that move kind of like made them very upset. And people went on the street and they didn't approve of what was happening.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the equation, there were Egyptians who really hated what you were doing, insulting, saw that, at least interpreted as insulting Morsi and Islam, and even you made fun on your show of the death threats that you were receiving.
Yeah, but like again, I didn't really think too much about the death threats. I only thought of like doing a good show. So a lot of people would come and say, like, oh, you're too brave. I was like, I wasn't brave. I was just trying to make a good show. I really didn't think of the consequences. I mean, if at the end of the day, if something bad happened to me and I was doing a bad show, people wouldn't care.
So your worry was if you would have been killed or whatever, that you, the last thing you did would have been a bad show.
Yes, that was my main concern.
If you just joined us, my guest this hour is Bassem Youssef, comedian, satirist, producer, also heart surgeon from Egypt, author of Revolution for Dummies, producer for a new web series, The Democracy Handbook, and subject of a really fascinating film, Tickling Giants. I want to go back to some audio from Tickling Giants in a moment, but perhaps you can set this up for us. John Stewart... How did you, in your life, first come across John Stewart? Because you obviously saw him as a mentor figure for what you did in Egypt.
Well, I remember in the mid 2000s, the Daily Show had something called the International Edition, and it would play on CNN. And this is what we would have in Egypt, CNN. So for once a week, I would actually watch him. And then when I traveled to the States, back and forth, I watched him more, and then I started to watch him on the web, you know. So this is how I started to watch him. And through the Daily Show, I learned what does it mean what does it mean to be a Democrat, a Republican? What is Fox News? For him, he was my educator, you know, like for the American news and American politics.
Mm-hmm. So at one point, John Stewart came, you were on John Stewart's show, but then at one point, John Stewart came to Cairo. He was a surprise guest on your show, and a lot of talk in the documentary about the security involved. You kept his, except to your inner circle, you kept his identity secret until he came out onto your stage on your show in mm-hmm. Egypt. I wanted to play a little clip, first of all, before you comment. This is John Stewart from the documentary film Tickling Giants practicing Arabic backstage before he comes on.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to practice.
Yeah,
Ana ragil basit.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Ana ragil basit.
Mesh lazim had yishilni. ما بحبش اترفع ما بحبش اترفع اترفع انا بسيط انا رجيل انا رجيل بسيط.
Okay, so then you had him led onto stage wearing a black hood covering his entire head and introduced him as a spy, right? Why?
Because at that time, of course, I was always accused in the media by being an operative from the CIA, and I'm being paid. So I said, we have found who is the spy who's been sabotaging everything in Egypt, and we're bringing him. And because John, being American, he fits the profile. So as he went out, and this was so kind of like our way to come in without people noticing or knowing that he is, he's there. And I'm sure that, like, if you watch the movie, you see the reaction of the people. People kind of screamed the roof off the theater. It was, nobody got, like a reaction like this. No guys got a reaction like this anywhere. Right. And he was very happy. He said, I never thought, like, a short Jewish guy from New Jersey would be... we'd be kind of greeted this way. I mean, he was loved by the people.
Mm. Let's listen to a little bit of John Stewart on your show in Egypt. What year is this?
That was 2013.
2013. John Stewart on the show, hosted by Bassem Youssef in Egypt.
Satire puts you, like, gets you into trouble. I mean, what about the love you get from the people?
I'll tell you this, it doesn't get me into the kind of trouble it gets you into. If your regime is not strong enough to handle a joke, then you don't have a regime.
You know, there's an expression, I don't know if you have it, adding insult to injury. Yes, maybe it is an insult, but it is not an injury. A joke has never ridden a motorcycle into a crowd with a baton.
A joke has never shot tear gas to a group of people in a park. It's just talk.
So I wonder, Bassem, how did the government, how did some people who perhaps were not laughing or cheering react to Jon Stewart being on your show?
Okay, so the reaction was very, it was very funny because, as expected, of course, the pro-Muslim Brotherhood considered that me bringing in an American and a Jew, of course, because this is very important. You have to use this as a derogatory term. Oh, he's bringing in an American Jew, part of the Zionist conspiracy against the world, in order to embarrass the Muslims and the Islamists and in the government. And I had all kinds of attacks from him. From the government. And what was really interesting, that with all of the hysteria that was accompanying Jon Stewart coming to the show, I mean, a lot of the fans of the show loved him, but it is the pro-government people, the pro-Islamist people who would attack me for bringing him. What was funny is that a few months later, when the military took over, the same people who were cheering me up because I was standing against the Muslim Brotherhood brought up the clip from Jon Stewart as proof that I am working with the Americans.
So to take us to the point, there's a point in the film where you and your staff are held up in your offices, protesters, supporters of the General al-Sisi outside, riot police. Take us back to that moment. What was going on?
Well, these were all mostly staged protests outside the theater. This is kind of like pretty much of like the 1950s and 60s propaganda books that we've seen in Eastern Europe, where these people were like on the payroll of the intelligence and the army, and they go in and they will make a scene, and that will be, quote unquote, the pulse of the street, the pulse of the people. And they wanted to show that, quote-unquote, the people are against my new direction of the show, making fun of the new government after Muslim Brotherhood. So, of course, they would come and they would block the entrance to the theater, and it was very stressful for my team to have to go through this. Mm-hmm. But still, they worked on the show, and they created and they wrote and they researched and they didn't care. They were like standing behind me.
How did your show finally end, and why?
Well, it ended twice. The first one, when after one episode making fun of the Sisi and his rise to power after the coup, that I was like, after one episode, the channel that was an Egyptian channel that was working, of course, under the influence of the Egyptian government, terminated the show. Then for 4 months, I didn't find any channel to have me, and then I went to a Saudi channel which is based in Egypt. They tried to host me for 13 weeks, and eventually, also they were ordered to terminate the show by both authorities, because at the end of the day, they are friends. So they had to let me go.
Mm-hmm. And the second time it ended was you were the subject of a massive lawsuit, right?
Yeah, the lawsuit was from the original TV show, a TV station, the government, and of course it was publicized, and I had a huge fine, about $15 million. Never in the history of Egyptian media this happened, and my lawyer said that they are going to use this in a way to either prevent me from traveling or put me in jail. So I escaped. And I fought the lawsuit from outside until I won this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. So you won the lawsuit. But you had to flee. You had to flee the country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got to take a short break. Bassem Youssef is my guest this hour, comedian, satirist, producer. We're talking about his amazing life. He's actually a heart surgeon, but then became this satirist. He's called the John Stewart of Egypt, and we'll talk with him again when we come back after a short break. He's author of Revolution for Dummies, producer for the web series The Democracy Handbook, and subject of the documentary film Tickling Giants. Let's go into the break with a little bit of Bassem Youssef from the documentary in one of those very trying moments near the end when his show had to be ended. And we'll be back. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
I have absolutely no manual to do this. I don't know if there's going to be an explosion where people die anytime right now, anywhere in Egypt, or at the office, or whatever. And we're going to come out and talk about what happened. How can you make fun of it? It's like 9/11 every day.
I'm Ben Kiefer. More after a short break. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Glad to have you with us this hour. My guest this hour, Bassem Youssef, comedian, satirist, producer. He's the subject of a fascinating documentary film. I encourage you to find a way to watch this, called Tickling Giants. It talks about his rise to the host of The Show in Egypt, a satirical news program sort of modeled after Jon Stewart's Daily Show. It ran in Egypt from 2011 to 2014. Youssef was forced into exile after being accused of and arrested for criticizing the Egyptian government. He's actually also a heart surgeon, his first career. He joins us now from California. He'll be speaking in Iowa City on April 7th as part of the Mission Creek Festival. Bassem, you took us nicely through what you experienced in Egypt up until you fled. What is Egypt like today? They haven't been making that many news headlines. Of course, they did a lot during the Arab uprising, the Arab Spring. What's the status now?
Well, they're not making news headlines because it went back to the stagnant dictatorship it was, even worse. I mean, there are, you know, when it made the news headlines because the transition from a hopeful democratic country into a dictatorship was tough, and then just people didn't care anymore to talk about it. It's the same thing every day. People are being arrested, detained, killed, put in jail. I mean, it's basically like, imagine North Korea if it have a couple of pyramids and internet and was friends with the United States.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on these tumultuous years you experienced in Egypt, could the revolution have succeeded in a way that it didn't?
Well, the thing is, there was a big factor that was preventing this revolution from succeeding, which is the army. People thought that the army was on their side, but the army was never on their side. In Egypt, the army holds a very high status in people's hearts and minds. And because of, you know, the history with the army, but the army that is there now is a bunch of businessmen. They don't really care about the land, or they care about protecting the people. They care about protecting their own interest and getting as much money out of this country as possible. So I think it's because of the huge influence and the octopus-like control of the army has on all of the institutions of the country that made this extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. Did U.S. policy, foreign policy toward Egypt matter? Does it matter today?
Well, I think American foreign policy are good at creating monsters everywhere as long as they are their friends. I mean, the American diplomacy has a history of dealing and working with dictators all over the world in order to secure their own interests. So it is not like today or a couple of presidents past. It has been maybe American diplomacy post Second World War that actually created this.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What do you see that you and your staff with the show in Egypt, what did you accomplish in those few short years? Can you point to a lasting change that you brought?
Well, I think, there people at least know that there is an alternative a different choice that people can take. Before that, I lived 30 years under the same president. I don't think that now it's acceptable. It's happening because people don't have any other choice because they are weak, or because the price they have to pay is high, or because it's risky. But deep inside, they're not accepting it. People are questioning everything right now, and I think questioning is a very important thing, how people will start to question things. This is very important.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about women's rights, the change that has happened there in Egypt. But I wanted to play a little bit of audio from Tickling Giants. This is from, I believe, one of your producers. Correct me if I'm wrong, Miral?
Miral, yeah.
Miral. This is from the documentary film Tickling Giants, reflecting on the importance of the work she had with you. Let's have a listen.
Many girls who used to wear hijab, they are taking it off now. It's kind of a personal decision. It's only for me and God. I don't feel like doing it anymore. So I decided to take it off. I work at the show because I feel that it's a good way to express how I feel and how I want my country to be. I don't think that there is something that we should not talk about or criticize. Like what's happening right now with General Sisi. He took Morsi down and everyone is acting that he is like a god or something. Thank you, General Sisi, but I don't want to act like you are God. I don't want to create another pharaoh, like what we have done before with Mubarak. I don't want this to happen again.
Bassem, tell me about your crew. you really get the feeling from this film that you were a tight-knit bunch, really dedicated to the mission of being able to speak out, to criticize anything, any political party, in the same way that the Daily Show with Jon Stewart does. You must miss your crew. I imagine you're still in contact with them.
Absolutely. They're like more of a family, not just crew.
How many women? We just heard Meryl's words there. What's the reaction and the life like for women now? Are all women, most women, aspiring to what Meryl is talking about in that clip?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot, but like the problem is not just like about women or men. This is of a more general sense. I mean, there's a general sense of discontent and at the same time, discontent and apathy. Because we have seen people who have been jailed just for writing a post on Facebook. So people are afraid. They are like a kind of a hidden anger, but they cannot really express it outside because they are afraid of the consequences. So it's not just like about women's rights. We're talking about like basic human rights right now. Basic human rights, not women or men.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about sarcasm and how you came to choose that as your vehicle.
Well, I think sarcasm is an effective way to bring very dull subjects to the table and to make people care about them. And also, it is very important as you speak against authority, because people in authoritarian or like have authoritarian traits are threatened by sarcasm, because they only have the fake sense of fear and respect to control the people. So when you use sarcasm against that you disarm them of the only thing that they have.
And would you say that you learned this attitude, this practice from Jon Stewart?
Well, I mean, Jon Stewart has been always an amazing inspiration, of course. Not just for me, but like for like many comedians in the United States too.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been in the United States? I'm talking to you you're at your home in California.
Yes, it's kind of now a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm. And your wife Hala is with you. You have a daughter. How many kids do you have?
I have Nadia, the one that you saw in the documentary, and I have a new one, my anchor baby. He's 8 months old now. His name is Adam.
How does life here in the U.S. and California compare to what you experienced in Egypt?
Well, here's the thing I like about California, especially L.A., and which is also different than many other places in the United States. My daughter goes to a public school. And she's in a class that is very diverse, of all kinds of races, colors, and religions and backgrounds. And this is the one thing that I appreciate appreciate the most about Los Angeles, that my daughter will be raised in a place where diversity is celebrated and accepted.
My guest is Bassem Youssef, a comedian, satirist, producer, heart surgeon as well. He's the author of Revolution for Dummies, a producer of a new web series, The Democracy Handbook, and the subject of a film, Tickling Giants. Tell us about your book, Revolution for Dummies.
Well, this was more of a mixture of my own experience, but I wanted to educate the American public about what is happening in Egypt. I wanted them to understand why is the Middle East so messed up. You know, why do they hear what they hear about the Middle East? So it was more of kind of like a for dummies guide to what do they expect from Egypt and why things are happening the way they're happening there.
Mm-hmm. And what are the things that most or many Americans don't get about the situation in the Middle East, in Egypt?
Well, there's a lot, but like people need to understand that the military, the regimes that they call themselves secular are not secular. And they are the flip side of the coin of the radical Islamists. And they all work together, although they are enemies, but they work together in order to keep the Middle East as it is. And sadly, the United States is supporting one or the other. But there are also the details of, like, what does it mean to be a Muslim Brotherhood? What does it mean to be an army supporter? The little bit of a history of Egypt that forms the policies as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. You've been in the U.S. for a couple of years. What are your observations now living in the U.S.? You observed our culture, our politics, mostly from afar during your life in Egypt. Now you get to experience it up close. What are your observations with your Egyptian background?
Well, I mean, the polarization here is quite high, which is expected in a free society that this would happen. But what has been very interesting, disheartening almost, is like how many politicians, as much as they run on a platform that they are the candidates for the people, at the end of the day, they are controlled by the lobbies and the money that are given to them by lobbies that do not work for the best interest of the American people. So at the end of the day, they come to the office and they don't care about the people. They come to serve the people who have given them money, and they use they pass laws that serve these lobbies, not the people. And it is so obvious and it's so out there that I really wonder how come these people get reelected more and more time after time after time.
And what is your answer to that question that you've posed?
I don't know. I mean, I think most people just vote for them because they hate the other guy. So it doesn't matter if, like, people are being paid by the NRA, but the people vote for them, mostly they vote for them because they hate the liberals. So whoever can spite the other guy, I will vote for him.
You watch, I assume, late-night humor here in the United States. It's changed in recent years in the U.S. It's actually since the era of the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, which you modeled your show after. What are your observations about late-night humor here in the U.S. and how that has changed in recent years?
Well, I mean, this is kind of like... almost as kind of reminds me of the 8 years of George W. Bush. If you would remember, you know, this was kind of the rise of Jon Stewart and then the SNL, of course. Now you have many of the spin-offs of the Daily Show that have attended, have now doing their job, but now they're more seasoned and more experienced, and that's why it's now you have like all of these amazing shows that came out from, look at the John Oliver, Samantha Bee, all of these people came out of the John Stewart school. So yeah, I mean, they're doing an amazing job, of course.
Mm-hmm. Social media, specifically Facebook, in our news a lot recently. What are your thoughts on the evolving role of social media, especially in our politics?
Well, here's the thing about social media. The problem with social media is, you know, everybody, of course, will have a voice, and you will hear voices that you don't like to hear. And that will cause more tension. And that would make people kind of like have a much more hostile and aggressive opinions against the other side. And now it's become all or none. So you find people blocking people who are not agreeing with them, creating a much bigger echo chamber. So now people are kind of like they recede back into these spaces, and all communication with other people are lost.
Talk about your web series. Is it already done in production? Has it been produced, some parts of it? The Democracy Handbook?
Oh, it's done. I mean, it's already all on the web. It's all there on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, what is that about?
Well, it is kind of like my take on American politics from a Middle Eastern who just arrived to the United States. So we talk about guns, we talk about economy, we talk about difference, religion, separation of religion and church from a satirical point of view. And I want to show them that maybe we in the Middle East are not that different from you guys.
Do you have, you obviously were in danger at certain times during your life in Egypt as the host of the show. Do you have security these days? Do you have security concerns?
No. I don't think security personnel can prevent anything. I mean, most of the people who get hurt, they usually have security around them.
Mm-hmm. What is your relationship with John Stewart these days?
Oh, he's lovely. I mean, like, we email every now and then. I ask about him. It's just like he's a lovely person, and I consider him as a big brother.
Mm-hmm. Will you and your wife ever consider going back to Egypt with your two kids?
Well, they go back and forth. I cannot go back. I think it's going to be too risky for me.
Mm-hmm. Even though that lawsuit was settled, the lawsuit is not the risk you're looking at. What is the risk if you would go back?
They will find something. I mean, there's always something there. They can make up for anything. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's worth the risk.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about what your team is doing these days. The various members we got to know in the documentary film. You have, like John Stewart, you have spawned a lot of talent. I have the feeling. What is some of your team doing?
So a couple of them are now leading the Saturday Night Live, the Arabic version. I have another one who became an online film critic. I have people who are producing and writing shows and starring in other shows. I think they're some of the most like talented people out there. And I'm very proud that they came out from El Bernamic.
Mm-hmm. Are they all in Egypt now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is in the future for you? What do you aspire to do yet?
Well, I hope that I will eventually find myself a place in the American media, in the American media scene. Maybe I will produce or write a show or star in a show. And this is what you do here in Los Angeles. You work on projects, you write scripts, you hope that something will be picked.
And you see yourself long-term in Los Angeles?
Yes.
How much were you involved in the making of the documentary Tickling Giants? It was really amazing in that it seemed to have a narrative there with the camera there pretty much every step of the way.
Well, I didn't. The deal between me and Sarah Texler, who was the one who directed the movie, is that I don't get involved on the creative or the direction. I was just the subject, and I just had to watch the movie at the end after it was made.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite part of the movie? A scene?
Yeah, it was the favorite of, like, when we were celebrating the birthday of one of the team members while there were protests outside. It's kind of like the the disconnection between reality and between us and reality.
Right. Your theater is surrounded. There are even people shouting death threats, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And you're celebrating one of your team members' birthday with a big birthday cake.
Yes.
All right. I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Bassem Youssef, really have to watch this film about his time in Egypt. He's the subject of the film Tickling Giants. And in fact, we're going to go out with one of your trailers for this, Bassem, and I believe sort of a call to action. But I want to remind our audience that you'll be in Iowa April 7th, speaking in Iowa City as part of the Mission Creek Festival. Bassem Youssef, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Use your words. They are louder and more articulate than your fists. Jokes are words put together in a funny way. Anyone in power who is threatened by a joke is not really all that powerful. When you're thoughtful and honest, humor can be cathartic. And unlike beating people up, it's totally legal. Are you brave enough to tell a joke? Take a feather and tickle the foot of a giant. Will the giant laugh or stomp on you? It's a risk to bring peace and beauty to an otherwise hard moment. Draw a picture, sing a song, say something. Have your true self known. When you are at your most authentic, others will be too. When you believe in something, speak up. When someone is being taken advantage of, advocate. When? Now. Giants come in all sizes, big and small. We should all, in our own ways, be tickling giants.
And that's it for today. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.